After rechecking the leather map the lawyer had given me yesterday at the reading of my Uncle Philip's will, I moved quickly through several of Cave Thana's winding passageways, eventually entering a small cavern where two tunnels stood before me. This is it. I can feel it. The note at the bottom urged me on. Follow this map and keep the legacy alive. I'm not one to avoid good advice, so I went on, my choice clearly marked on the map in lurid colors. Left it is, then. I couldn't stop thinking about what I was about to find. If Uncle Philip had buried a storage of cash inside this cave, maybe it would be enough to pay off the second mortgage he'd taken out and the back taxes he must have forgotten to pay. As I took the left tunnel, my mind began racing at the possibilities. There could be anything waiting for me in the Stygian dark, and that drove me on, my steps confident as I stooped to fit in the narrowing tunnel. I was tall and the cave was not, but I kept going, silent and smiling at what might be ahead, at what was ahead. Sliding sideways, I finally gave in to the space, dropping to my knees, humbled by the walls pressing in without mercy. I inched forward, my breath growing short as the space narrowed even further and the ceiling closed in. I tugged at the scarf around my neck, loosening it. The sheer weight of the rock above me began to... It wasn't fear, it was just awareness. With my pickaxe out in front of me, I inched along, knowing the tunnel had to widen somewhere ahead. And then I slowed my crawl as something triggered my senses. Noises ahead. Machinery? Teenagers, maybe, looking to party far from prying eyes, and I couldn't blame them. For a place to get away from everyone, this cave system was king. Then I felt a rush of annoyance. They were, after all, in my cave without permission. Adventurers seemed to always find caves to explore, especially in Tennessee, where there were plenty. The Bell Witch Cave was close and always drew them in. Not far from our place was Hopkinsville, Kentucky, which still brought in the curious who wanted to see the farm involved in the alien report from the 50s. And although Uncle Philip always called these visitors a nuisance and ran them off his property, sometimes I'd turn a blind eye to the few experienced cavers that I'd come to know, the ones who asked permission and didn't leave their debris, food, and empty beer cans. My annoyance flashed again as the noises continued. Still, I inched along, knowing the space would open. It had to. But I didn't believe these were kids. I heard machinery, and it sounded like trespassing excavators. They wouldn't appreciate getting caught. I thought about my knife and my ankle sheath. No way to get to it until this crawl space opened. The pickaxe helped gain me a little leverage as I used it to pull myself forward inches at a time. And then finally, free. I'm free. Not entirely, as I was still underground, but the cave's throat opened wide, disgorging me into a space that yawned away into the dark. I crept along another 4 yards until it opened into a large grotto, and one I was very thankful for. I unsheathed my knife, the handle cool against my palm. Here I come, boys. Edging sideways and against the cave wall toward the voices that sounded more like a small gang, I clicked off my headlamp and made myself disappear into the darkness as I rounded the corner. No sense making myself a target. There weren't any rebellious teenagers there. There were aliens. 20 feet away stood an array of the creatures that had made Hopkinsville, Kentucky famous in 1955. The original legend, I guess, described boxy little green men with pointy ears and sloped shoulders. But these creatures weren't green. They were dull brown, with arms that nearly touched the ground.